Hello, welcome to another episode of Suck Pod, a Succession podcast. I'm Kaya.
And I am Jason. Kaya, what do you think about last night's episode? Like, gut reaction.
Episode 3 is just the gift that keeps getting better. Like, I watched it, obviously, when it aired, and I was, like, shook by it. And then I watched it a second time, and I caught some things that I didn't catch the first time. So, you know, I'm just obsessed with it. What was your initial reaction to episode 3?
Yeah, I had my first yell of the season, which means I have to physically pause the episode because I'm laughing so hard for so long that I'm going to lose what's happening. It was the first moment was when they're getting in the limo right before they do good tweet, bad tweet, and Kendall's just like rocking out to the music. And then all through the good tweet, bad tweet game, I was just dying because, I mean, I guess we can just start there, but it was such a moment of skewering internet culture in a way that I didn't think the show was going to go to, but it did. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your kind of like take on that moment early on in the episode?
I was so happy that they really like tapped into internet culture, not just by, you know, the tweets, because they, you know, they talked about Twitter and social media in the first episode a lot when Kendall assigned Greg to be his like internet culture temperature checker. But this one, they even had like Z-Wave from Baited on playing like an elevated version of herself. And I'm like, I can't believe that they're actually like, you know, doing this, but it fits in a way that actually makes sense. Like, it doesn't feel like they're going out of the show too much, that they're giving in to the hype of it. And I actually really, really like it. And I think that it's better for them to have like Kendall deal with it rather than Greg, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense, because Greg is younger. So I feel like it would be obvious that he would be more into Twitter culture and internet culture. Whereas no, it's literally Kendall who's wants to know what people are saying online, who cares yeah. about what people are saying online, who's trying to make it seem like, oh no, he gets it. It's like a thing. Like, I don't mind. It's funny, you know?
Right.
And so it was hilarious.
Yeah. And on top of that, he just knows, like, he just loves the fact when he gets like bad press online, like he loves getting roasted. He thinks it's the funniest thing. You know, it's like, oh, all press is good press type of thing. But over the course of this episode, we see Kendall slowly just get broken down by the bad tweets. You know, I think that it's definitely the writing team, you know, making fun of internet culture and how, you know, people are always on Twitter saying like, you know, this isn't real. Like, even if you're getting hated on, it isn't real, but it is very much real. And you know, we just see Kendall slowly sinking lower and lower. And you know, the show is making fun of something that, you know, is very much part of our society now.
Right.
Which leads me to this question, because before the season came out, Jesse Armstrong said that he wasn't going to address the pandemic in this season of Succession. And I found it just interesting seeing that moment. You know, it was very hilarious, you know, the good tweet, bad tweet game. But it made me think like, okay, like they're clearly addressing some aspect of the way our society has changed through quarantine, where being online is ever more important and what people are saying about you online has taken a new kind of hierarchy in our society. And I just thought it was interesting that he chose to skewer that aspect of our society now, but won't address the pandemic as a whole on this episode. Yeah.
That's a good observation. I didn't even really like put two and two together. I didn't read that interview, but I noticed that, you know, they didn't talk about the pandemic at all. And it's kind of weird and it feels out of place, because if anyone talks about the pandemic or, you know, cares about what's going on. It's those people, the people in power, the rich people, the people that own stocks, mm-hmm. like the people that don't get stimulus checks, you know, mm-hmm. like, but I feel like it's refreshing, but also I get why he did address internet culture in general, because he wanted to address cancel culture.
Mm.
And it plays more into what the family dynamic and like what the characters are about to address cancel culture rather than the pandemic. Like, I think it plays into the story better because mm-hmm. we see Kendall, not only he's taking shit from his dad now, but he thinks that he's like this martyr and he wants to know how people are reacting online. And mm-hmm. we get to see how other people's words affect him. And we get to see, you know, when we actually tweet things out there, these people are reading it, even though they're not replying to it, they're reading it. Even someone like Kendall, who we really shouldn't feel bad for, like at all, because at the end of the day, Kendall is no good guy.
Yeah.
So I think it fit perfectly in it. But
yeah,
I think that they should address the pandemic, like, as it relates to the business in general, though.
Right. And that's kind of where I was going too. Like, yeah, like when you fly private everywhere, you know, clearly,
yeah.
You know, quarantining isn't right, except for Connor. But, you know, you don't need to quarantine if you're going to be flying private to your private mansion and then to your other private yacht. Like, it doesn't really apply, right. But the general ripples of the pandemic across society and across the economy and business, I think could make for an interesting plot line, but yeah. I also understand if it's just not this season, you know, maybe it's next season or another season, or maybe they don't address it at all.
And yeah. Again,
you know, Succession will still be a great show. I don't really
want them to dive in it either, you know, because right. we're still in it. That's the thing that sucks.
That's also true. Yeah.
If this was something that we went through and we're finally out of, like we thought we would be, it would be a different story, but now we're looking for escapism and we're not getting the escapism in reality shows because they have to take tests and address the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at our scripted shows and we want things to be as normal as possible. But whatever right. they decide to do, if they address it, if they don't address it, it's going to be hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. And maybe we're not ready for that kind of humor just yet, but maybe mm-hmm. one day in one season we will be. So, but going back to Kendall for a second, like, I feel like there was this theme with him throughout this episode, you know, coming out of last episode where he makes this plea to his siblings that essentially then turn their back on him and walk away. You know, we see this, you know, mindset of Kendall starting to take shape of like, everything is fine, but everything is definitely not fine. You know, right from that opening scene before the credits where he's talking to the journalist and, you know, he's like, oh, I'm in a great headspace. And you can just see in his eyes and in his face that he is so not in a yeah. great headspace.
Yeah.
And
same.
Similar to where last season Kendall walked around, you know, wearing this cloud of shame on him, which was how he also felt on the inside. I feel like this season, it's almost now internalized for him, where he's walking around with a false sense of bravado and confidence. But there is still this like brokenness within him that isn't just going to go away because he made a, you know, big gesture at the board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get sad boy Kendall again by the end yeah. of this episode, and I knew it was coming because
yeah.
the whole episode he was doing entirely too much, dude. Like mm-hmm. it's okay to make fun of the tweets, it's okay to want to go on the show and the freaking Nirvana moment, which I know you'll want to address, that wasn't okay, but that was definitely doing the most. But
mm-hmm.
I was confused, or not even confused about, but what put me off was that was Logan's security guard, right? Who was mm-hmm. like, I know you. He's the one who covered everything up. And I'm surprised that Kendall didn't stop his plans of ruining Shiv's like town hall after Logan's security guard like basically threatened him.
Yeah, there's a
little bit I thought that that would like affect him more.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like suspending the disbelief there where it's like, okay, they spent, you know, two solid scenes, like everyone freaking out that Kendall was coming in, only for him to somehow, you know, sneakily get these speakers out and set up with a song ready to go when Shiv is giving her town hall address. So that was like a little bit like, okay, what's going on? But I did like that, like, for the first time, you know, you see something big go down in front of the employees where like the Roys are directly in the spotlight in real time. Like, it's not like something that is, you know, blowing up as like a PR scandal online or some kind of, you know, bad article or bad deal going down. Like, you can really see the shock and disgust in real time is like Shiv has to like get off the stage and everyone's kind of running around frantically trying to figure out what's going on. So I did like that part of it. But yeah, I agree. I think it was a little strange the way they handled like the security of it all. And I think at the end of the day, it was just for pure comedy.
Yeah. And I didn't even realize until the second episode who that guy was that was saying, "I know you." I was like, wait, who's who's this dude in his face? And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's the guy that helped him cover up the murder. And like, it just did nothing for him. So if you were like an employee at Waystar, what would have been like your question that you asked in the anonymous intranet?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think that, yeah, in the anonymous intranet, which, you know, for folks, for listeners out there that maybe don't work for a large company, that's like the internal, you know, security protected online, you know, portal that employees part of a large company, you know, will work on for like communicating and posting things and getting updates from leadership and stuff like that. I mean, I think if I was an employee though, I would just want to know what viewers want to know, right? Like, what's going on and who is going to be the CEO of this company? You know, is Logan going to stay in power after this horrible report? You know, is anyone going to get arrested? Cause this is definitely criminal. And to what level are people going to get in trouble? Like, is it, you know, at Logan's level at all, or does he even know what's going on? Yeah. What would you have asked?
Literally what they asked though, like anything at all, what is happening here? When Roman was like, can we get a couple of like less questiony questions? And I'm like, oh my God, that's literally how these freaking big corporations work. Everything is like pre-written. Everything is like, you know, prepared. They don't actually want to know what the, you know, employees or even like the consumers want to know about the company. They want to keep everything on hush-hush. But I would definitely be like, what is happening? Because so much happened. And Kendall is literally still coming to freaking work. You know, it's just like the most confusing thing ever.
Yeah. No, I think there's just like a general... And I think it was actually good that the show showed that scene of the town hall and everyone kind of being like, what's going on? Because, you know, even though all of this stuff happens, you know, at the God level, as Tom said at that dinner towards the end of the episode, you know, it is having real world effects on, you know, the lower levels of management, which, you know, at the end of the day are the people that are actually running the company. So yeah, it was definitely a moment, you know, where you could see the stress on everyone's face and you could see the disappointment and anger that Shiv has for being put in the spotlight like that and then failing. And I think that's kind of what Kendall was getting at when, you know, he bumps into her and says, it's you now, right? At the benefit. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, you know, look, like we're kind of in the same boat on different sides. Like, you now know what it's like to be put in the spotlight on behalf of our father and, you know, forced to take embarrassment. So I think it kind of binds them in a way that we haven't seen with other siblings on the show, you know?
Yeah, for sure. The thing that was kind of also sad, just making us feel even worse for the little slime puppy, is that he can't even like find one good memory that he had with Logan. He's like, actually, no, it was Connor who took me fly fishing or whatever, like, little story that he told. And I'm like, well, damn.
Yeah.
That's why we need that prequel. Like, what kind of a father were you that your son can't remember one nice story about you spending quality time or anything together? And it was actually just Connor. But also, the way that Roman grew up, which is why he has these like weird fetish issues, is probably from, you know, Connor is the oldest, and then it's Kendall, and like kind of they both raised him, like took him fly fishing and shit like that. But I think that they also locked him in like a dog cage before.
Yeah.
So that just comes to show like how fucked up Roman like really is.
Oh, totally. He definitely carries a lot of childhood trauma. And because of that, you know, when he's given an opportunity to have responsibility, to make a big move, to partner with someone like Jerry, you know, he'll always kind of go back to the most basic denominator of his personality, which is just being like inappropriate and immature. I think because he's afraid to take that step and like come into his own, which is also, you know, the reason why we don't really know what his motivations are. And every time we see him succeed, it's like he takes two steps forward and then one step backwards, you know. And that's why Shiv was the one leading the town hall and not him. Yeah.
And she was the one who literally sent that letter, the open letter that came out. Okay, this is what I want to know. Do you think that she went too far?
I don't know. But what I'll say is this. Like, I don't know if she went too far in her own mind. I think, you know, Kendall should have definitely been prepared for them to get, you know, as ugly as possible. Also, you know, it's pretty common knowledge in the family that Kendall has a drug problem. So, you know, in this battle between Kendall and the rest of his family, you know, it's only fair, knowing how petty they all are, that, yeah, they're going to bring up that he has a drug problem, and they're going to make it public, and they're going to make it ugly. And, you know, it's something that Kendall really should have expected. So that's kind of how I felt from like Kendall's perspective.
Yeah.
But for Shiv, I don't know if she thought that if she took it too far or not, you know, because she still does have that love for her family and that empathy for them that no one else, literally no one else has in the whole show. So yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that, you know, Kendall should have seen this coming?
Yeah, I do. That's why I didn't understand why he was like kind of so upset that he couldn't even do the show. He had to literally retreat into the fetal position. And I'm like, that's not even like your biggest secret. That's kind of things that you could literally gather about. Like, I would not be surprised if I found out that a billionaire's son had a drug problem. I'd not be surprised that he was misogynistic. None of the things that was in the letter would shake me as like someone who would read that article at all, especially considering his deepest, darkest secret that has not even come out yet, like baby killed someone. So if you can't handle that, then what's gonna happen if they actually put your biggest secret like out there?
Right. Do you think there's a part of him though that also loves the humiliation? And that when he was sitting there in that control room and, you know, he's just lit by like the lights of the computers and his head is kind of down, do you think like for him, there's a part of him that is very, like very satisfied from getting dragged over the coals, just, you know, similar to the way that he was at the party when he was playing the, you know, clip of Ziwe, like just roasting him. Like, do you think there's like an element of Shiv releasing this letter where he's even more broken, and yes, his feelings are hurt, but just like how he put the Twitter, you know, of it all, he actually really loves, you know, this pain.
Ooh. Maybe he is like just an attention whore. He likes good or bad publicity, and he's getting both of them. yeah. at the same time. I think that he was genuinely upset by the letter, and I think that the little smirk at the end was him watching Waystar get raided, right?
Right. Oh my God, which was another huge thing. But before we jump into that, like, just mm-hmm. from Shiv's perspective of it all, I think this episode we really saw Shiv and Logan get closer. And Logan kind of finally stepping into this mentorship role for her, you know, where he kind of was floating it in front of her like a carrot for a while. But I think this was the first episode where he sat down with her and said, look, leadership is hard. You know, we're in war. It's going to be very tough to come out of this. And, you know, like.
Well, he says it. He's like, now do you see after Kendall did what he did? Mm-hmm. I think that it's like before he was just saying, you're my daughter, my only daughter. It looks so bad that you're not taking these shots at Kendall the way you mm-hmm. could be taking these shots. And she was like, oh no, I got it. I don't even think he's coming in. Like, she was confident that they had like an understanding. Mm. And he's like, oh, well, I guess you don't really know that Kendall is really trying to bring us down. So even though obviously Logan was probably not happy about that town hall moment, that is the moment that clicked for Shiv right. that she has to play hardball.
Yeah, time to take out the Times New Roman firing squad, as Connor calls the PR letter, which was a great
play. Speaking of Tom, what was that moment about possibly going to jail? Like, was that him testing Shiv to see if she would sacrifice him? Or yeah. was it him trying to get on Logan's good side? And then he had the call with the lawyer, like right after, like, is Tom about to flip? Like, what's yeah. going on with Tom?
I mean, I think as of this episode, we don't know, right? There's a lot of these little hints coming out, but we don't really know what direction he's going to take. I'm always confused whether Tom is just like this comedic character meant to, you know, be the goofy family outsider that's, you know, forced to kind of get wedged in between all of their drama, or if he's actually a real player, a real power player in the Roy Empire. So I don't know. I think, you know, from a relationship standpoint, yeah, he's testing the waters with Shiv and he's saying like, look, I'm willing to sacrifice myself if that will help the family. And you know, Shiv does her classic, like, oh no, no, Tom, like you couldn't. Well, actually it's a really smart idea if you were to sacrifice yourself, but you shouldn't, you know? And you can kind of just see the defeat in his face when she goes through all those lines. Well,
she's actually thinking about it. Right.
Right.
That's exactly what's going on. Yeah. And that's why when he said it to Logan and Logan thanked him, mm-hmm. I think in his head, he's like, this is actually like a real possibility. Let me get on the phone with some lawyers.
Oh, you think
I don't know where.
Do you think once Logan kind of gave him like the, yeah, sure, like hopefully it won't come to that, but yeah, I'll sacrifice you if that's what you want. Do you think that was the impetus for him talking to lawyers? Or do you think, you know, he had that mysterious meeting that was not shown where right. he was getting like outside advice? So do you think that, you know, he is kind of working on a bigger plan that just involves himself, or was that? Yeah. You do, yeah.
I think he's working on a backup plan because mm-hmm. we see Shiv seriously consider it. We see Logan accept the offer, and mm-hmm. he's like, these people literally don't give a fuck about me. So I need to give a fuck about myself,
yeah.
cover myself.
Absolutely.
So I think that was kind of like the catalyst of him like doing that, especially because he was in. Right. Cruises. They even mentioned, was it like Billy or Bill told Tom mm-hmm. like what happened? So he knows a lot about where the bodies are buried, actually. And we might be underestimating little Tomboy there. So I got my eye on Tom, and I got my eye on Greg's $40,000 watch also.
Oh my gosh, the watch. So sad for cousin Greg this episode. He was trying to ball out. He was trying to be cool. And, you know, he ended up getting his like oil, his body oils all on the expensive watch that he then had to pay for with his own money, which was just,
no, I showered.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's trying to like get out of it. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it just shows that, you know, Greg is like Tom and that he's floating out in space. He's not, you know, protected really by Kendall. He's not really protected by Logan. And, you know, he's just trying to figure out, you know, what play that he should make. And I did love, by the way, the fact that Greg and Tom had their first kind of scene back together in person, where, you know, he's kind of just like, you know, like, we need you to take this cyanide pill. Like, Logan wants you to have it. And Greg's just like, what? So
it's like nice our Greg that. And Tom like finding their way back to each other after being split up for so long, because they're kind of both on the outs, like with the family. I mean, Greg is in a better position than Tom always because of just blood relativeness, but at the same time, they're both these outside characters that can go, they can flip to either side, honestly.
Yeah. And it kind of makes sense for them to actually put their differences aside and to team up, because they are the two outsiders of the family. And, you know, they could be the ones that get blamed for everything. So even though, you know, they're two of the funniest characters on the show, you know, there's definitely some real stakes for them. So this episode kind of ends with, you know, the war is kind of in full swing between Kendall and Logan. And it looks like next episode, we start to meet some new characters and that Kendall's going to kind of go on, you know, the path to try to convince some of the board members to, you know, vote Logan out. So what do you think, you know, just wrapping up last night's episode, you know, like, where do you think Kendall stands in all of that? And then, you know, who do you think will end up with the top job?
I literally have no idea, because it can't be Kendall, because obviously I don't know, but it might end up being Kendall. But anyways, I don't know if Logan's gonna get voted out, because we've already tried this. But I feel like that town hall meeting didn't help at all, one, with the employees. And now the public is going to see that they're getting raided by the FBI. So it doesn't look good for Logan either.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. The preview is so good, though. Like, I would be shitting bricks if I had to meet up with Logan after I just did what I did. He's just like, hi, son. Hi, dad.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I think that FBI raid at the end was huge, you know, and a real tragic moment for Team Logan. And I think that tragedy is only going to give more fuel to Kendall to take the steps to try to get his dad out of there. What I think is going to bring a lot of humor and a lot of fun for the next couple episodes is Kendall and Logan now trying to win the hearts and minds of other people on the board, other big investors who are just like them, right? So people that are also very aloof from regular society, people that also, you know, work around the government, around law. And it's just going to be really interesting to see. And I think it's going to be really funny. There's some big names coming in, which should be really fun. So I'm ready for it. I will say the beginning of Shiv's speech, I thought she actually did a good job addressing the employees right before the music kicked in. So I actually still feel really good about my prediction that she's going to end up in the top CEO spot. And, you know, I saw Jerry pushing back hard against Logan this episode. So she's the interim CEO, Jerry's stepping up. I think she's doing a great job of keeping him in check. So yeah, everything is on track for my predictions.
Okay, so my temporary CEO, I'm gonna give that to Jerry, because she kind of handled Logan And Logan really just wants her to be a puppet. But even the people around him were like looking at Jerry for answers, really. Mm-hmm. He's like, don't look at her, like listen to me. And then for Big Kahuna, I'm going to say Kendall because I'm always like a Kendall girl.
Yes.
But in addition to our final predictions, I just wanted to play the game that they played in the show. Good tweet, bad tweet. I know you were telling me about a tweet that you saw.
Yes, I love this. I love this. I mean, first of all, one of the funniest moments of the episode, as I said at the top of our recording just now, that I literally had to pause while they were playing that game because it was just so funny. But yeah, good tweet, bad tweet. I mean, Succession Twitter is and has always been alive and well with hot takes, videos, images, memes. Yeah, definitely follow SuckPod on Instagram.
Right.
That's where we're posting. Yeah. That's where we're posting our memes. But my good tweet would be the video from 2019 from this guy, Ben Kahn, who, if you haven't seen the video, definitely look it up on Twitter because it's him doing an entire episode of Succession in like 2 minutes where he plays every single character in full costume. But makes it all about all the kids wanting some of Logan's M&Ms. So I definitely recommend you check it out
below on the pod.
Yeah, we'll link it out,
and then I'll link it to stories
too. for sure. But it's really funny, and it has like 5 million views on Twitter. So that's iconic. That's good tweet. That's definitely one of the better takes that we've seen on the show. Do you want to give your good tweet?
Let me give you a bad tweet, so we'll mix it up. David Weigel is his name. Dave Weigel on Twitter. This is a bad tweet, and it says, watching Succession before my plane takes off and muttering, oh God, no, at every line of Connor Roy's dialogue. I think that everything that Connor says is golden and should be put on a plaque somewhere. So that's my bad tweet. The day.
Yes.
But definitely follow him because that was hilarious.
For sure. No, Connor always has the funniest one lines, even if they do sound really, really stupid.
Do you have a bad tweet?
So my bad tweet is probably a group of bad tweets, specifically from this past Halloween weekend and beyond. And that would be people that tried to dress up as Roy's for Halloween. Not that I have anything against it per se, but, you know, just throwing on a suit and making a scowl at the camera and then putting it up on social media. I just feel like with Halloween, like you got to do a little bit more than that. And it's kind of just phoning it in. And, you know, most people don't have the super, super high end luxurious clothes that the Roys wear anyway. So it kind of just looks like a weird like LinkedIn photo that you end up taking and putting on social media. It's
something that you have to ask and you have to like explain, so it doesn't translate as it should, basically. Right.
Yeah, I definitely believe that for Halloween, you should be able to like walk into a bar and people should generally know, you know, who you're trying to dress up as. And if you're just like walking in,
ask one question. Like, I'll give you one question. Yeah. And then if I have to keep asking questions to get who you are, then you failed at your Halloween costume.
Exactly.
Because if people dressed as like Shiv, I'd be like, are you Steve Jobs? Like, what are you?
Right.
What's your thing
here? Yeah, are you the Theranos lady? Like.
So then my good tweet is definitely similar to the one that was read on the episode, but this is from 2019 from Julia Shiplett on Twitter. She says, I had this disease where I both despise and would have sex with everyone in Succession. Same. It's just like that, the Kendall tweet that they read in Good Tweet, Bad Tweet. It's just like, why do I hate all of these characters? I want them all to burn. They're horrible humans, but in some weird way, they're hot. Even Logan.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, and I think that kind of summarizes prestige TV in general over the past 10 years is just all these lead characters that we hate, but we also find hot and enticing, AKA Tony Soprano, Walter White, Don Draper.
Honestly, everyone. So,
Yeah.
It's like you sit back and you're like, where are my morals when it comes to this?
But exactly.
Top tier episode.
Top tier. Loved it. Send us your good tweet, tweets. Let us know what you think. Continue to hit us up on Suck Pod on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening. To all the people that have supported us so far, we really, really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, guys. And until next time.
Until next time.